The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can you know if the Spirit of God is leading you? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hello, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of our show. So we're taking questions from listeners just like you. We have questions that come in from all over the place. I hope you feel free to send us a question if you've got one. Hop on your computer or your device and zap it to us through email. Our email address is radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus, and my name is Sean Lazar.
I'm Bob Wilkin.
And I want to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Vince Deegan.
Oh, I know Vince very well at Victor Street Bible Chapel. Hi, Vince.
Hi, Vince. How's it going? It was good to see him a little while ago. How long have I known Vince? Probably a few years, several years.
Well, since
2012. A good, faithful guy. And a good defender of free grace online, I see.
Amen.
Well, let's take some questions. Here is a question from Liz. Liz says, I've read your blog and listened to your podcast for a long time, but I have a question that has bothered me for many years. Many of my Christian friends tell me that they were led by the Spirit to make certain decisions in their lives. And I've always wondered how they knew it was the Spirit that was leading them. Was it a feeling they got? I'm not a touchy-feely type myself, and I feel I can't trust my feelings. So what do you think being led by the Spirit to make a decision in one's life means? My husband and I are trying to make a decision to move, and neither of us know what to do. Any thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great question, Liz. I have given that a lot of thought. Gary Friesen is a fellow graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he and Robin Maxim wrote a book called Decision Making and the Will of God, which I think is the best treatment of this question. Basically, what they say in that book is that the moral will of God is declared in Scripture. And so if you want to know what God wants you to do and not to do, read the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't go to our feelings to determine the moral will of God.
So you're talking about right questions of right and wrong.
Right.
So like if you're like wondering, hey, should I move in with my girlfriend or boyfriend? Don't look for a feeling.
Right. The Bible already tells us don't.
Don't do that. No
Not
fornication.
Not until you're married.
Right? Yeah.
Right. If you wonder, this is a prime example. People think, I think the Lord's leading me to witness to so-and-so. And so they feel guilty. And they go and talk to the person, and it often leads to a very awkward conversation. It doesn't develop naturally. It's just throw something out, and it can be awkward. It's one thing if you say, hey, I love you, and you're a friend of mine. I'd like to give you this booklet, or I'd like to talk to you about Christ and about the free gift of eternal life if you're interested.
Yeah.
It's another thing to come up and go, hey, I know you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell and you need to know about Jesus or you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire.
Right.
That doesn't go over so well with friends.
Sure.
We know from Scripture that God wants us to share our faith with all who are open.
Yeah.
So we don't need to wonder, hey, should I witness to so-and-so? Witness to anybody you can, but it should be natural.
Yeah.
It should be something where it flows naturally from the conversation and you're praying about it, you're available. You may choose to introduce the subject or you may choose to look for opportunities where the person shows some interest. But either way, it seems to me it's odd for someone to say, the Spirit led me to witness. Or haven't you even gone so far where people use this for parking spaces? They're praying, Lord, show me the right parking space. Or how about my shirt?
Yeah.
How about my house? Does God tell me what house to buy? How about my job? Does he tell me what job to take? My answer would be no, no,
but,
no.
But wouldn't you like him to?
I'd love him to. That'd be great. I mean, but here's the problem with it. It's exactly the problem Liz is talking about. If you follow that method, how do you know that this right. is the voice of God and not your own desires?
Right.
Or not Satan? And I mean, if you start listening for voices, you're getting into spiritual deep water there where you can start spiritually drowning. I remember when I was a pastor, I had a woman in the church and she said she was looking for God to speak to her because people had told her that God wanted to speak to her.
Yeah.
So she started opening up and she said, you know what? I started hearing voices and I couldn't control them. And she said,
really?
Yeah. And she said, finally, I said, Lord, this isn't from you. I'm shutting this off. And the voices stopped. But
wow.
She was like, you know, this didn't seem like this was from God. I remember Zane Hodges talking about this at a Lord's Supper meeting. And he basically said, there's no examples anywhere in the Old or New Testament where God led people by impressions.
Really?
Yeah. Give me an example.
What about the Macedonian vision?
Okay, that's a vision. That's not an impression. They actually saw a vision.
So what would an impression be?
Impression would be, I think God wants me to move to this city.
All right, well, what about
the... I think God wants me to marry this person. I think God wants me to take this job.
Well, so the Macedonian vision would be an example of the Spirit leading you to witness to a particular person.
In the case of Paul, he specifically revealed this to him.
Or Philip and the eunuch.
Yeah.
Specific person. Or Paul to Lydia. There's a specific person the Spirit leads you to.
Well, in the case of Paul and Lydia, he's at the place of prayer and he's preaching to the people who are there. So it's not exactly like, I mean, yes, after the fact, we can say this was a divine encounter.
So maybe
before the fact, Paul didn't say, hey, God's leading me to talk to Lydia.
Philip and the Macedonian vision, those were specific people the Spirit led him to.
Yeah.
So what about the Jerusalem Council? They say it seemed good to the Spirit and to us to lay out these rules.
Right.
So wouldn't that be an impression? I guess the problem is we're not told.
But they're not saying... I think what they're saying there is that this is the approach we think is wise. I don't think they're saying, you know, that we're guided by some feeling.
Okay, well, what about, you know, when Paul is, like, warned not to go to this place, but he should go to this place?
Because he's told. It's an
actual through prophecy.
Voice he's hearing. Or seeing Jesus.
So I guess you'd say then that we shouldn't expect that kind of direction today. Is that what Friesen would say?
Like, yeah.
God used to do that, but he doesn't give that kind of direction today.
Yeah, I remember talking to Gary Friesen at graduation at Multnomah when I was the year I taught there. And he said, as we look back over our lives, we can look back and say, God was at work, it seems, so that I ended up and chose this instead of that. I did this instead of that. And he said, but at the time, we're just making the wisest decision we can make. But as we look back, we realize the hand of God is unseen and is working behind the scenes and is often moving us in a particular direction.
Right.
So it's one thing to say, I married Sharon Dallas because God was at work. It's another thing to say, God led me and I married her because I had some impression. I can say I founded Grace Evangelical Society because God was at work in my life. But at the time, it just seemed like I was doing something that made sense, that was spiritually productive.
Right.
That's the way life is. I remember when we left Multnomah, it seemed like a horrible thing.
Yeah,
I mean, here I'd been hired to teach at one of the leading Bible colleges in the country.
Mm.
I really enjoyed it. And yet Sharon couldn't take the climate.
Right.
And so we left after a year, and I never have taught since then.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about it is, I would have liked teaching. In fact, if it had been my choice, that's what I would have picked.
Right.
Well, it was my choice. But in a sense, that the choice was taken out of my hands because my wife couldn't take it there. And if I insisted on staying there, it would have ruined my marriage.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we can say, when we're trying to discern the will of God, there are clear moral revelations of the will of God.
Right.
But there's also, there's wisdom principles that God also reveals.
That's the key. In Proverbs and in all the wisdom literature in the Bible, there are principles that are established. I remember when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, we used to use a letter, I think it was called the Paul Brown letter. And what we suggested was, if you're facing a decision, like what do I do after I graduate? What job path do I pick? You would lay out the pros and cons of each thing you're considering.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would pray about it and you would seek counsel.
Mm-hmm.
You would say, okay, mom and dad, what about the pros and cons here? Okay, friend, what about the pros and cons here? And you would talk to different people.
Yeah.
You would seek counsel and you would make the best decision you could.
Right.
It seems to me that's what Liz is talking about, is we make choices based on a sound mind. In fact, we called it within Campus Crusade the sound mind principle. And Gary Friesen says, get away from thinking somehow that I have to get the exact right house, the exact right car, the exact right shirt.
Yeah.
I have to get the perfect parking space, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, maximize your life for Christ day by day, and one day you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And we can really get confused if we start moving by impression.
All right, Liz, I hope that answers your question. This is from Gary, and Gary has a question about Ephesians 2, 7 to 10. And here's the quote. In Ephesians 2, 7, Paul says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And then in Ephesians 2, 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And here's what Gary says. "It seems to me that the good works in verse 10 might be related to the exceeding riches in verse 7, as in we are rewarded for our good works out of the proceeds of his wealth in ages to come." Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think Gary's on the right track, but he's looking at this individually, and he should look at this corporately.
Ah, yes, because in him, is very a corporate passage.
Right. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Verses 8 and 9 are you, right? Verse 10 is we. Why doesn't verse 10 say, "For you are his workmanship"? Mm-hmm. Well, because he's talking about the body of Christ. And if you go in verses 11 and following in Ephesians 2, we as Jews and Gentiles together in one body.
Yes.
So the point of verse 10 is we, the church, Jews and Gentiles together in one body, are his workmanship. The church has been created to produce good works. Now, does that mean that individual believers should produce good works? Well, of course, but this is not looking individually, this is looking corporately.
And so in verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us.
That would be Jews and Gentiles in the church. 7 and 10 are related. But the point would be God is going to be manifesting his favor on us forever, and how much we experience that favor is related to good works that we produce. Now, that's really not brought out in this passage, but other passages do bring that out.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob, and thank you, Gary, for that question. If you have questions, we want to hear from you. Send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about confession of sin, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.